Good morning. Good morning, church, and welcome to our worship service at St. Catherine's United Mennonite Church for Sunday, March 26, 2023. Welcome to any guests among us and also those listening online. This morning is a glorious morning in our Lenten journey, and I think of Psalm 118:24. This is the day the Lord has made. We will be glad and rejoice in it. Announcements are in your church bulletin, but please take special note of the following. There are multiple Easter events in the bulletin. Please give each one a careful read and plan to attend or assist if you can. Note the Christian Gleaners newsletter and the MCEC annual church gathering information. The Mennonite Children's Choir of Lancaster is looking for assistance in billeting, so please read that announcement carefully. Last but certainly not least, something that's dear to my heart, VBC is coming up in the week of July 17th to 21st in our church. It's free for kids. Check out the church website for information. Please join me in a congregational reading. Out of the depths we cry to you. Lord, hear our cry. If you kept a record of our sins, who would stand a chance? O Lord, hear our cry. But with you there is forgiveness. We wait for you, O Lord. We hope in your word. Blessed be your name. Let's worship together in song.
Everybody, please rise for Come Thou Almighty King.
Join me once again in a reading to the Lord, which will include a moment of silent prayer. Lord, our lives are dry bones. We are cruel in our words and indifferent in our actions. We confess to the Lord. Breathe on us, Lord. Put your spirit within us and make us alive. We place our hope in you. Amen. And once again, let's sing together.
We will be singing the song, Great is the Lord and Spirit of the Living God.
The Bible reading for this week comes from Psalm 130, page 969 in the Pew Bibles, if you'd care to join me in following along. Psalm 130, a song of ascents. Out of the depths I cry to you, Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to my cry for mercy. If you, Lord, kept a record of sins, Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness, so that we can, with reverence, serve you. I wait for the Lord, my soul waits, and in his word I put my hope. I wait for the Lord more than watchmen wait for the morning. I say more than watchmen wait for the morning. Israel, put your hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is unfailing love, and with him is full redemption. He himself will redeem Israel from all their sins. So far the reading of the word. Let us still our bodies and minds and bow our heads in prayer. O Lord our God, we gather together today to give you thanks and praise your greatness. Your power is limitless. Your wisdom is unparalleled. Your grace and forgiveness are overwhelming. Your love is unfailing. Our Lord, our rock and redeemer, our hope is in you. Direct our thoughts and our hearts as we listen to your words through today's message, prayers, and songs. Let us be filled with the praises as the Holy Spirit guides us through our week ahead. Let us never forget, you have forgiven our sins. You have rescued us from death. We ask that you renew our strength and refresh our souls. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And we invite the children to come up for children's story.
Hello, friends. Long time no see. All right, so I have a question for you to start off. Have you guys ever experienced something that was really difficult or something that was really hard? Like maybe something bad happened to you at school, or maybe someone said something kind of mean to you. Maybe you got sick. Can we think of anything? Yeah, we've all been sick. I heard a lot of us were sick this past couple weeks. Yeah. Well, these things can be hard, right? Maybe someone says something mean to you at school, or maybe something bad happens with a friend. These things can be hard, and we might pray for them to get better, but seem to hear nothing from God. And we don't always know what he's up to. So, who can tell me what this is? Oh, not quite. It kind of looks like a funny blob, right? Doesn't it? Well, it's dough, and it's a product of putting all of these different ingredients together, like eggs and flour and sugar. And after we mix it all together, I'd put this blob in a really hot oven, and then I would take it out, and it would make something like this. Now, you've all seen one of these, right? What's this? It's a cookie. Now, you might recognize it a little bit better. Now, let's pretend that this cookie, it could talk, and maybe it had feelings. Do you think it would want to go into a really hot oven?
No.
Probably not. Not if it had a choice, right? Doesn't sound very pleasant, doesn't sound very fun. But only by going into the oven does that dough turn into something better. Does that blob become a cookie? So going through that really hard thing makes the cookie complete. Now, believe it or not, sometimes that actually happens to us. We might not like the really hard things that we go through, or we don't understand why they're happening to us, and sometimes we pray for things, and we don't think that God is answering, but God is actually always working in our lives, even when we don't understand how. He has his own plans, and they're always better than ours. So this reminds me of our Bible story today, which is about a man named Lazarus. Now, he was a friend of Jesus, and he had two sisters who were also friends of Jesus. Well, Lazarus, he got very sick. And his sisters, he asked Jesus to come and see him, thinking surely that Jesus was a miracle worker and he could heal their brother and make him better. But that didn't happen. By the time Jesus arrived, Lazarus has already died. And his sisters were very sad, and Jesus was sad too. He'd loved Lazarus as well. Now, there was a lot of confusion. Surely Jesus could have healed his friend, so why didn't he? Well, Jesus said that it was going to work out for God's glory. He asked if he could go see the tomb where Lazarus was buried, and when he got there, he asked for the big stone in front of the tomb to be rolled away. And Jesus called to Lazarus to come out of the tomb, and he did. He came out, still in his burial clothes, but alive. So even though Jesus didn't do what might have been expected at first, he did bring healing to Lazarus, and it was an amazing miracle. It wasn't what maybe Lazarus preferred, probably, or maybe even his sisters, but it did bring glory to God. So it reminds us that something in life sometimes can be tough. Sometimes we feel like that blob of dough, or we wish things didn't happen so difficultly or bad. But we don't like it when the oven, we don't like it in the oven where it's hot or when it's uncomfortable. But just like that dough, it's our job to trust in God. So God has promised us that he will work in our lives for good if we love him and live by him. All right, let's pray together. Dear God, thank you for being with us in times of sadness. Help us to remember your promises to us. Help us to trust in you. Amen.
All right, friends, would you like a cookie?
How nice. Last evening, Renata, my wife, baked cookies. I thanked her. She shared with our grandson for some reason, but didn't bring any for you this morning, Vic. The spring season is on the horizon. If you heard the strong winds last night, if you listened to the rustling of the trees, you might have just a sense of the vision told by the prophet Ezekiel, as will be in our reading in a short bit. The winds have the breath of the Lord reawakening the trees from winter's cold darkness. On this fifth Sunday of Lent, there's that sense of clouds gathering or heat in the oven, and acknowledging that journey in the biblical sense of Jesus approaching Jerusalem. As with our prayer a little earlier in the service, likewise, I will lead to a time of silent prayer for you to reflect and to respond to the words spoken. I invite you to bow with me in prayer. God of eternity, God of hope, when we sin, when we hurt others, when we avoid justice, our world grows darker. When we speak words of harm about others near us, when we hear news of suffering of those far away, the world grows darker. And when the darkness becomes too great, Lord, we lash out in our fear. We hide from our pain. We despair in our loneliness. God, you know our failings, yet we confess them. The darkness rules and dominates our lives at times. And as the darkness grew while Jesus hung on the cross, we name before you the sins that hold a death grip on us. For those things that have caused pain for others, for injustice that we have participated in, we confess before you. God of new life, bury our sins in the tomb so that the spirit of forgiveness may breathe new life in us once again. Grant to us hope, the dawn of a new day, the brightness of your coming. Today we pray for each other as a church while we seek to be faithful to Jesus. Strengthen our sense of belonging, our belonging to you, and our belonging to one another in Christian fellowship. This morning, we continue to hold in prayer Tim Amore and family as they begin the transition, as they begin the process of saying farewell to a community of Summit Street Church to which they have loved and served. And as they and we look forward to shared ministry together, we continue our prayers for the Summit Street Church as they enter a time of transition which we are emerging from. Gracious God, we pray with thanksgiving for renewal, for the strength that Waldy Heider has experienced in the past while, for strengthening of his legs, and for the hope of once again being at home. Gracious God, we continue to hear of death and destruction in various parts of the world, particularly in Ukraine, the Middle East. And we pray for peace. We pray for our own feeble efforts that might bring peace far away and peace near at hand. For this, we share of our tithes and offerings out of the abundance that you have entrusted to us for the building of your kingdom. We pray that you be with Paul as he shares how the winds of your Spirit are renewing life among us by your Spirit and power. Grant to us insight as we share as a fellowship for the ministries to one another, but also for our witness to the wider community. For these things we trust in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning. The first passage I'll be reading from is from Ezekiel 37, verses 1 to 14, the Valley of Dry Bones. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out of the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me back and forth among them, and I saw great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. He asked me, "Son of man, can these bones live?" I said, "O sovereign Lord, I alone know." Then he said to me, "Prophesy to these bones and say to them, 'Dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you, and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you, and you will come to life. Then you will know what I am, the Lord.' So prophesied as I was commanded, and as I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound. The bones came together, bone to bone. I looked, and tendons and flesh appeared on them, and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, 'Prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to it, this is what the Lord, sovereign Lord says, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe into these slain, that they may live.' So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breathed in, entered them, and they came to life and stood up on their feet, a vast army. Then he said to me, 'Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They say, our bones are dried up, and our hope is gone. We are cut off. Therefore, prophesy and say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says. O my people, I am going to open your graves and bring you up from them. I will bring back to the land of Israel. Then you, my people, will know that I am the Lord. When I open your graves and bring you up from them, I will put my spirit in you, and you will live. And I will settle you in your land, or your own land. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken and have done it, declares the Lord." Now I'll be reading from Romans 8, verses 6 to 11. "The mind of sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. Because the sinful mind is hostile to God, it does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God. You, however, are controlled not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit. If the Spirit of God lives in you, and if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, your body is dead because of sin, yet your spirit is alive because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also live to your mortal bodies through the Spirit who lives in you.
Good morning, church. Thank you, Brother Jerry, for the public reading of the Holy Scriptures from Ezekiel and from the book of Romans, and Megan for paraphrasing and sharing with all of us the story of Lazarus, which is also one of the lectionary readings for this particular Sunday. But this morning I would like to draw attention particularly to the Ezekiel passage and also the Romans passage, called to life by God's indwelling Spirit. And the preparation of the service this morning has been amazing. Thank you to our musicians. Thank you to Ziggy leading us in worship this morning, and Pastor Randy, as you so vividly pictured the Spirit of God and the strong winds that blew, knocked over part of my fence last night too. So we're going to have to repair that in the coming days. Called to life. You know, there is something about the topic of death, and I thought the way that Megan shared it with the children was so appropriate. And in the book of Ezekiel, we have this amazing story of death, dry bones. I don't know what it is, but we do tend to avoid the topic of death, don't we? We don't like to spend a lot of time talking about it or thinking about it. I remember in my former church, we had a wonderful church member, and he happened to be a funeral director, a mortician. And of course, we saw a lot of them coming and going into the church for our funeral services. And he was a man of great dignity. And of course, he wore very clearly his clothing, you know, the black suit, the dark tie, and the somber face, and so on and so forth. And he did his work with dignity, and the entire community in which I served appreciated him very much. But he was also a member of our congregation, and he was one of the most joyful ushers that we ever had in that congregation. His smile, his greeting, his welcoming, his assisting. And I thought, what a wonderful way that that man is expressing his joy of the Lord and his enjoyment of the faith community and of being alive in Christ. But you know, there's no amount of avoidance will prevent death from becoming a reality. It's interesting that in our Lenten journey this year, we are being asked to look death squarely in the face in the scripture readings that we have had. That we have the story, we did not read it from the Gospel of Luke or of John, of the body of Lazarus in the tomb. Or we have that powerful image that was read to us by Jerry of the how Ezekiel paints the dry, sun-baked skeletal bones. What a powerful image that is, lying in a valley. And then, of course, finally, we have the powerful words of the Apostle Paul that explains the spiritual reality of a spiritual death, but also of spiritual life. It's interesting that in the book of Genesis, we have the creation account of how God, as you remember the creation story, how God breathed into the human species, and we were granted life. Interesting, too, in John's account of the resurrected Christ, we have him, Jesus, breathing the Holy Spirit into the lives of his fearful disciples. Amazing, amazing text. Could we use a touch, a filling of that breath of God as we imagine Jesus breathing upon his disciples following his resurrection. Our psalmist, as Ziggy read to us this morning, urges us to wait for the Lord. My soul waits. In his word I hope. Psalm 130, verse 5 and 6. Oh, I'm not asking whether we need a resurrection, like Lazarus, or some miraculous coming together of dried out, decaying bones, but rather, are we hoping for a fresh breath of God upon our lives? Are we hoping and praying for a fresh breath of God even upon our church? Paul instructs us clearly that the mind of the flesh is death, but the mind that is set on Christ, on the Spirit, is life, Romans 8, verse 6. What is the message of the Spirit to you today? As Jerry was reading that text from Ezekiel 37, Son of man, can these bones live? And Ezekiel responds, O sovereign Lord, you alone know. Imagine yourself, dear brother in Christ, dear sister in Christ. Imagine myself. Can I be revived? Can the Spirit of God breathe that type of life-giving power to me afresh? We understand that this Ezekiel passage, the imagery is that of the fallen, decayed people of Israel. But we can juxtapose the church of our Lord Jesus Christ. Can the church of Jesus Christ thrive again? Can the St. Catherine's United Mennonite Church move from the level that it's at to another level? Can these dried bones live? Can this church live again? What is the message of the Spirit to you today, and how does the Spirit want to meet you today? Let's walk for a few moments amongst the valley of dry bones, the valley of the shadow of death, which we're all too familiar with in every way, physically, emotionally, mentally, and yes, even spiritually. Now, I've been to a few cemeteries over the years, and I'm sure all of you have as well. We go there for the burial service of a loved one, a family member, a friend. But often while we are there, we walk amongst the gravestones and we see loved ones that have passed on before us to revisit the tombstone, the gravestone of a mom, of a dad, of a brother, of a sister, of a close friend, of a colleague. What is it they are saying to us? How are they speaking into our lives? We need to walk amongst the dried bones in Ezekiel and ask God for direction. God, what are you saying to me today? I don't mind telling you, there are occasions when my mom and dad, both having passed away years ago, I find myself, Dad, what would be your advice to me in this regards? Mom, how would you be praying for me and for the church today? Because she was a prayer warrior, as was my father in some regards. And so as we walk amongst these dried bones this morning, think of yourself walking amongst these dried out bones. Ezekiel is standing and waiting to receive the word from the Lord. How is it with you? Do you desperately want to receive from God? Do you desperately want to know in your own personal life as a follower of Jesus? Do we collectively want to know that there is hope, there is future, that life will return and replace some of the deadness that is in our personal lives? Oh, how it grieves God that many people are lying around with no vision, no future, no life. Oh, how it grieves God that people who are mere shadows of what they were meant to be. Oh, how it grieves God that there would be skeletal saints haunting our churches, frightening away the curious seeker with their rattling dry bones, bag of bones, religiosity. Oh, may those skeletal saints, myself included, experience a fresh filling of the Spirit of God as we walk amongst the dry bones in Ezekiel chapter 37. Ezekiel lived with people who felt cut off from the living fountains of faith, feeling not only helpless but hopeless. Is there anything worse than to feel hopeless, that there's no way, that there's no hope, that there's no future? Anything worse than having meaning and purpose running out of your life and knowing that tomorrow you'll be emptier tomorrow than you are today? Have you ever been invaded with that devastating, crippling doubt that God is no longer there? That there is very little proof of his existence? That you are as dry can be? Perhaps you would lend your voice to the words we read earlier. Our bones are dried up. Our hope is gone. There's nothing left for us. But the message of Ezekiel is a message of hope, breathing life into their deadness. And this is God's word for you today as well. God's Spirit breathing upon your life. God being glorified, not only in the raising up of Lazarus as he emerged from the tomb, to God be the glory, but your life finding energy and a purpose that has been infused with the power of the Spirit of God. Oh, I love to return again and again to that text, again, that Jerry read to us from Romans chapter 8. If Christ is in you, your body is dead because of sin, yet your spirit is alive because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit. Through his Spirit who lives in you. You need to know that Ezekiel's visions mark the transition time between a time when Israel was in the worst possible way. They were spiritually dead. They were spiritually dry. But in a very few years, the people would be whole again. The people would be praising God. They would be studying the scriptures, walking by faith, loving their neighbors. It was a marvelous and miraculous resurrection amongst the nation of the people of Israel. And so this morning, my invitation to you, God spoke to Nicodemus, and Jesus offered Nicodemus new life through the second birth by being born again. The old man, but a new man in Christ. God spoke to the woman at the well and offered her divine water that would spring up to life eternal. God spoke peace and breathed his Spirit into the lives of his disciples. And God, by his Spirit, we who are dead in our sins and dried up lives, he offers us an abundant life in Christ. Even as Jesus called out, Lazarus, come forth, even so Jesus is calling us. He's calling each one of us. He's saying, Paul, come forth into a new life breathed by the Holy Spirit of God. Come out of your deadness, your dryness, into the new life that is ours today in Christ. Let's be clear what God offers and what he does not offer. God breathes into us and we breathe in the Christ life. We're not suddenly transferred into some utopian existence experience. We are not free of pain. We're not free of troubles and doubts. But we are alive and we have never been this alive before. We are made well. We are whole. And his Holy Spirit is energizing us, calming us, generating hope, offering peace, giving us a new luster as to how we can view life's circumstances. God chose to raise Lazarus from his earthly tomb. I wonder what his skin looked like. Was it patchy? like he had been dead, or was it fresh like a newborn baby? But of course, we know the story well, that he would die again one day. But God offers to us his life-giving breath, his spirit. We inhale this with deep gratitude as we exhale faith, hope, and love. This is the preacher talking. This is Paul talking to you. And I'm concerned that there is an epidemic. There's an epidemic going around, and it's not COVID. This epidemic is an epidemic of spiritual anorexia. Spiritual anorexia, where people are stubbornly refusing to be refreshed with the food of God and the abundant table of God's provisions for us, that we might grow and be nourished and be filled with that Spirit in life-giving ways. Where is your love for God, his word, the people of God, and your service for God? How can we continue to live as though there is a famine in the land when we are blessed with all of God's abundant blessings? If God is going to engage his community of spiritual skeletons, it's only going to be if God can capture our lives. God must carry you to the place of his choosing. It may be that this morning, God is carrying you to a place where you recognize you're like Ezekiel in the valley of dry bones. Perhaps God wants to speak to you as he did to Isaiah in the temple. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord, with a fresh sense of the holiness of God. Or perhaps today you are that Jonah character in the belly of the fish, running away from what you know clearly is God's calling upon your life, and that Samaritan woman at the well, or Nicodemus. Where did or where will God get your attention? Perhaps it was in a crisis. Perhaps it was in a challenging set of circumstances. Perhaps it was in a career move. God commands us to listen. Listen to the word of the Lord. Then he said to me, we read in Ezekiel 37, verse 4, prophesy to these bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you, and you will come to life. Praise the Lord. How we give thanks for the promises of God to the children of Israel in this image found in Ezekiel. And the promises of God are true, and yes, for the church of Jesus Christ today. Do I hear an amen? Amen. The complaint of these skeletal bones was, we're cut off, verse 11 of Ezekiel 37. How can we do this? If we would be effective, we must be rightly connected with God and with the parts of the body of Christ. Willful sin often comes between us and God. Perhaps you took those silent moments during our prayer times to acknowledge them. Perhaps there is willful unforgiveness between you and a brother or a sister, a family member. Have we offended another and live in the deadly whirlwind of bitterness? Allow the Spirit of the living God with the four winds to blow down those fences that have stood in the way of your fellowship and your communion with the living God and with one another. God wants us to come before him and before others, and to say, I am sorry. I must get reconnected. All of this we must do if we would experience resurrection and new life and renewal and blessing and new birth and spiritual renewal. How can we be properly connected bone to bone and joint to joint with the members of the body of Christ if we are out of joint? Oh, many of you know what it's like to have a joint that's just not properly connected to the body. There is nothing more painful than having a bone out of joint. Just ask somebody who has had hip joint or collarbone or kneecap. Do I hear an amen? Our text this morning that we've read from Ezekiel and from Romans, the Romans passage assures us that if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will give you life to your mortal bodies through the Spirit that dwells in you. Do you have the Spirit of God dwelling in you? Examine your life. Are you possibly a victim of spiritual anorexia? Paul candidly states the reality that if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, that person doesn't belong to him. Verse 9 of Romans 8. May God speak into our lives today. Paul tells us elsewhere in Galatians chapter 5, let's keep on being filled with the Holy Spirit of God. And all God's people said, Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Break me, melt me, mold me, fill me. Without the instruments and without our song leaders, let's prayerfully sing that little chorus again. Notice the words that I've inserted. Break me, melt me, mold me, fill me. Let's each of us offer this up as a personal prayer. And if you can't sing, pray for our church as we sing this. Pray for your soul. Pray for the Spirit of God within this church. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on me. Break me, melt me, mold me, fill me.
Thank you, Pastor Paul. We will now sing the Mighty Power of God, verses 1 and 2, followed by benediction, and verse 3 of Sing the Mighty Power of God. Please stand.
I sing the mighty power of God.
Let us pray. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen.